The Boy Who Tricked the Ghosts, written by Ellie Crow, read to you by Miley Garrett. Ko'ulula'au, the only son of a Maui chief, was a rascal. He'd been in trouble ever since he started crawling. Ka'ulu is a mischief maker, his teacher said. Ka'ulu is a troublemaker, his uncle, the king of the island of Maui, said. Who, me? Ka'ulu asked, his dark eyes shining with mischief. My son is just lonely, the chief said. He sent out an order that all the boys born on the same day as his son should be brought to him. Soon, a group of excited, curious boys arrived. You will all live here at my court, he said. Then Ka'ulu will have lots of boys to play with. Ka'ulu grinned and the boys jumped up and down with excitement. Let's play, he shouted. All day they played wildly, running races through the chief's houses, throwing water bombs and bamboo darts. They held wrestling matches in banana groves and mud fights in taro fields. At night they painted their faces white and pretended to be ghosts. Giggling, they lurked behind trees and then jumped out yelling, "Ooh, we're coming to get you!" At sunrise, a group of farmers came to the chief. Your son and his friends broke the branches of all the breadfruit trees. The chief frowned. Ka'ulu, I planted those beautiful breadfruit trees, he said. You are named after the breadfruit tree. The tree is precious to our people. You like eating the breadfruit and wearing the tapa cloth made from the bark. Wasn't me, Ka'ulu said, smirking. Couldn't be. Must have been those troublesome little people, the Menehune. At sunset, a group of fishermen came to the chief. Ka'ulu and his friends pushed our fishing canoes out to sea. We lost our catch and our nets. We're going to complain to the king. Not I, Ka'ulu said. Must have been those evil ghosts from Lanai. When the king of Maui heard what had happened, he went red with anger. Ka'ulu, I'm warning you, he said. If you do one more destructive thing, I'll banish you to Lanai. You can try your tricks on the evil ghosts. Please don't punish my son, the chief said. Tomorrow I'll plant a big grove of young breadfruit trees to replace those destroyed by Ka'ulu. As promised, the chief set to work. By sundown of the next day, rows of small breadfruit lined the fields. All my father cares about is the silly breadfruit, Ka'ulu said, and he sneaked out the following night and uprooted all the young trees. The king was furious. To plant crops is an honor. To destroy crops is death, he said. Ka'ulu is banished to Lanai for 1 year. No, please, no, Ka'ulu's mother sobbed. Lanai is a terrible island. No one has lived there for 500 years. Pahulu, the powerful sorceress, rules Lanai with her man-eating ghosts, the monsters who feast on human flesh. They'll kill and eat my son and use his bones for fish hooks. Ka'ulu's father shook his head sadly. There is nothing I can do. Our son has gone too far this time. I didn't do it, Ka'ulu stammered. It wasn't me. 3 big warriors with faces as hard as stone grabbed his arms and led him to a large canoe. Don't worry, mother, he shouted. I'll find a way to trick the ghosts. But as the canoe set sail for Lanai, Ka'ulu's heart pounded with fear. How could he, a boy of 12, manage to trick man-eating ghosts? The canoe landed on the desolate shore of Lanai, and Ka'ulu looked fearfully at the steep bare cliffs and windswept beach. There were no beautiful green fields like those on Maui. A warrior handed over a small bundle, and Ka'ulu held it tightly as the men sailed quickly away. He was all alone, alone with the evil ghosts. He felt a hot tear roll down one cheek and angrily brushed it away. He would not give up. He opened the bundle and found a gourd of water, a calabash of poi, and a sleeping mat. As he unrolled the mat, a large clump of green young plants fell out. Taro, beautiful, banana shoots. His mother had put them there. He never dreamed he'd be so glad to see plants. If he could manage to grow these, he would never starve. He could prove to the king and his parents that he was a strong, hard-working boy and not a useless troublemaker. If he could just escape the ghosts, he could survive a year. Ka'ulu crept inland, praying to his Omokua, family gods, to help him find a safe place to sleep. As he walked, he looked carefully from left to right, but saw no signs of the ghosts. Perhaps there were none. He began to whistle. Before long, he found a small dry cave and put down his sleeping mat, food, and water. Then he searched until he found a stream and a deep freshwater pool. He needed to plant the young shoots as soon as possible so they wouldn't die. The day had turned to late afternoon, and he got to work at once. He was digging in the red soil when he heard strange, heavy breathing. He whipped around and saw 12 tall, thin ghosts coming toward him. They looked almost like ordinary people, but were very pale, and their sunken black eyes brimmed with evil cunning. Ka'ulu jumped to his feet, shaking with fear. "Who are you?" a ghost asked. "Why have you come here to our island?" Ka'ulu stood straight up, fists clenched. "I am the son of Chief Kalaneo of Maui. I've come to visit your island and plant taro, bananas, and breadfruit. Everything on this island belongs to us, and we are hungry. We will eat your taro, bananas, and breadfruit." A tall woman ghost smiled at Ka'ulu, but her expression looked false, and her eyes were cold and cruel. "I am the sorceress, Pahulu," she said. "Where will you sleep tonight, friend?" Ka'ulu shivered. He knew that the sorceress and the ghost would try to kill him as soon as darkness fell. Evil powers loved darkness. How could he trick all these ghosts? He thought fast. "I will sleep in this tall tree," he said. The sorceress smiled slightly, showing her sharply pointed teeth. "Sleep soundly." Muttering excitedly to each other, the ghosts left. Ka'ulu climbed the tree. Then as soon as darkness fell, he jumped down and ran to his cave. He curled up in his mat in a tight little ball and lay sleepless with fear, jumping at every little noise. What were the ghosts doing? Would they find him? Suddenly, he heard the sound of huge rocks crashing into the tree. The ghosts were trying to stone him. Branches thudded to the ground with a shower of leaves. Rocks thumped against the tree all night long. When the sun rose, Ka'ulu ate some of his poi and forced himself to walk outside whistling. He had to show the ghosts he was strong and unafraid. Soon, they appeared, looking exhausted and angry. "You look tired," Ka'ulu said. "Didn't you sleep well?" "The wind blew tiny rocks at the tree all night, but I was very comfortable." He walked off toward the stream. All day, the ghosts plotted and whispered and watched Ka'ulu as he watered his plants. He jumped whenever one of them moved closer, but it seemed that their power during the day was not strong enough for them to attack him. As the sun set, they stood straighter, grew larger, and their eyes gleamed red. The sorceress asked, "Where will you sleep tonight, friend?" "In those thick bushes," Ka'ulu said, pointing to a spiky cluster of green shrubs. That night, hidden in his cave, he heard the ghosts outside searching the bushes and giving little screeches as the thorny branches poked them. The next day, they looked really mad. "The bushes were too soft," Ka'ulu said, stretching. "I slept so well that I woke up late this morning." The ghosts scowled as they rubbed their bleeding, scraped arms and legs. "Your taro plants are growing," the sorcerer said. "Taro tastes delicious, baked with pig." "Are there pigs on Lanai?" Ka'ulu asked. The sorceress nodded. "It may be possible to find a young, tasty pig," she said, licking her lips. The ghosts snickered. "They are going to eat me as soon as I finish the planting," Ka'ulu thought, sweating with fear. "I can't trick them night after night. I've got to get rid of them." "Today I'm going to pick Opihi off the rocks," he said. "Tonight I think I'll sleep in the high surf." "You got that, ghost?" he thought. "Come and look for me, you shrimp heads." Hungry, Ka'ulu collected and chewed Opihi all day. Then at sunset, dove into the surf and swam out beyond the waves and floated there. When darkness came, he swam back to shore. Crouched low in the sand, he heard the ghosts out in the rough surf, shouting as they struggled. He jumped up and down, gleeful. "They've drowned," he told himself. "I've tricked those stupid ghosts once and for all." But much later in the morning, 7 wet, angry ghosts came stomping across the beach to him, and Ka'ulu knew his time was running out. He needed a better plan. "I'll mash the roots, and this evening I'll bring Ava to your sleeping house. We can have a relaxing drink and feast all night." "We'll expect you at sunset," the ghost said. Ka'ulu spent the morning making enough Ava to fill 2 big gourds. Then he gathered bird lime and tree gum and made a paste that he hid under his malo. The ghost grinned as he entered their shadowy house and beckoned him to join their circle. "Drink up," the sorceress said. "Outside, the fire is burning in the imu, heating the stones to bake the feast. I like pig well done and crispy." The ghosts nudged each other. One who was as bony as a skeleton poked Ka'ulu's arm. "I like my pig juicy," he said. The others chuckled. Ka'ulu shuddered. He didn't want to be eaten. Would his trick work? The ghosts tipped back the gourds and guzzled the ava. Ka'ulu only pretended to drink. Round and round they passed the gourds until each began to nod and sway, dizzy from ava. 10th, heart racing, Ka'ulu waited until they were all asleep. Then he tiptoed from one to the other, gumming their eyes with bird-lime paste. As he reached Pahulu, she began to stir. Clutching his gourd, he ran. When Ka'ulu passed the imu, he grabbed the burning stick from the fire and set the thatched roof alight. Then he raced to his tree next to the pool and scrambled up out of sight. Flames from the burning house lit the sky. Only one figure stumbled out, Pahulu. She stared into the dark night and sniffed. Remembering that ghosts could not see well but had a strong sense of smell and hearing, Ka'ulu sat motionless, hardly breathing. Pahulu approached the tree and peered up into the branches, rubbing her eyes. Still sniffing in all directions, she walked around the trunk. Ka'ulu's heart pounded so loudly he thought she'd hear it. Ashes from the fire tickled his nose. Oh no, what if he sneezed? He pinched his nose shut with his fingers. Suddenly, Pahulu looked straight up in his direction. Had she seen him? He tensed, ready to leap and run, but she muttered and turned away. Rubbing her eyes, she stooped over the pool, washing the ashes off her face. Then she spotted Ka'ulu's reflection in the water. Sick with fear, he did the only thing he could think of. He waved mockingly and made googly eyes. He pulled his cheeks down so the whites of his eyes bulged, and he rolled his pupils backwards. With his thumbs, he yanked his mouth wide open, stuck out his tongue, showed his teeth, and snapped them up and down. "Aha, you trickster!" she screamed. "I see you hiding at the bottom of the pool. I've got you now!" As she jumped into the water, Ka'ulu flung the gourd down at her head. It struck her skull with a loud crack, and she sank under the water. He broke off a thick branch and watched the pool. There was no sign of Pahulu. The top of the water was still. Minutes went by. Had she drowned? Surely no one could stay underwater so long. He breathed a big sigh of relief and started to climb down. Suddenly, Pahulu lunged up to the surface with a blood-curdling scream, howling and clawing at him. Ka'ulu swung at her from the tree, yelling and hitting her head with his branch again and again. "Ah, there are too many of you tricksters," Pahulu cried, sinking and spluttering in the water. "Some hide in the pool, some attack from the tree. Come and help me, you runny-nosed ghost. Don't your hairy ears hear? I cannot fight so many all alone." "Yeah," Ka'ulu shouted. "Quick, warriors on the beach, charge. You other men, block the path. Attack!" Stumbling out of the pool, Pahulu leaped toward the cliff and jumped into the ocean. Ka'ulu ran to the edge of the cliff. Below, he saw Pahulu thrashing in the surf, swimming away as hard and as fast as she could. Soon, the sorceress was no more than a speck on the water. He'd done it. He tricked the ghost. The Na'i was safe. Ka'ulu farmed his plants, fished, ate well, and grew tall and strong. At the end of his year of exile, he gathered driftwood and piled it high, making a roaring fire big enough to be seen on faraway Maui. He knew his parents would be watching, and he jumped with joy when he saw their large canoe sailing toward Lana'i. As it approached, Ka'ulu ran out into the waves to greet them. "Mother! Father! See, I am still alive. I tricked the ghost, and the nutty is free. Taking his mother's hand, he led her to his green field of crops. See the breadfruit, taro, and bananas I've planted? See how well they grow? Many of our people can live on Lanai now. The island is a safe home. His mother smiled proudly as she hugged him. His father bowed his head in recognition. The island of Maui, he said, sends greetings to the young chief Ko'ulu of the fertile and safe island of Lanai. The end.